Hello, I'm Monica. Hi. Compulsive reader and junk food addict. And I am I have a few notes, so anyway. I gave a qualification yesterday, and I really like the fact that I was able to represent, people who share some of my issues. Like in addition to being a compulsive overeater, I do suffer from some mental illness. So it's going to be similar to what I said yesterday, but a little different. My form of mental illness resulted in isolation, some alienation, and separation from others, starting as a child. And then because I wasn't treated at all, it progressed into adulthood. And that's like a huge part of my like who I am. But another part of who I am is also hope and medication and this fellowship. I turned to food at an early age to self-medicate from some of the like the mania and the depression, and then later on ADHD and anxiety. I was distant from a lot of my peers at school and family, and I just had low self-esteem. I found it difficult to communicate, and I was very shy. So I found that like food was pretty much my best friend. I played softball, and I didn't binge every day, but I did eat a lot of food, and so I didn't gain that much weight when I was younger. And then I went to law school, and it was there that, in addition to food, I found other substances, alcohol, whatever, weed, cigarettes, whatever. I just did whatever substance I could to get through it. I did graduate from law school, and I became a lawyer, and I joined this organization. This civil rights group, and it was great at first, but then I started to not be supported. It got rocky. It got just not great, and my mania started to increase. When I say mania, I mean like I'm bipolar. That means you have like bouts of mania, and then sometimes you're very, very depressed, like so depressed you can't get out of bed, and sometimes so manic you can't sleep. It's like I would have like night sweats and. It got to the point where I made a suicide plan. I didn't end up going through with it, but I did do something, kind of manic. I jumped in my car and I drove to Chicago to live with a client, and I just couldn't take being a lawyer anymore. So I was like, I'm gonna work at Chipotle with my client and live with her. And basically, I was just running away from my problems. And I came back after a few days. And my friends ended up helping me be able to go to basically a mental hospital. And I was there for eight days. I got out of there, and I tried like whatever way to kind of get out of this organization that I was in. And so I went to nursing school. And it was there that I, well, a couple of things happened there. One, I definitely isolated. I didn't talk to the other students very much. I stayed at Starbucks, and I just sat there and I ate, pastries all day and studied. And I got up to about 198 pounds, and that's the highest weight I've ever been. So it was almost 200 pounds. And I ended up flunking out of nursing school because, in part because I isolated. But anyway, the one thing I did gain out of nursing school was a lot of weight. And I eventually joined a Panway, and I lost 30 pounds, but I couldn't go any further than losing the 30 pounds. I just couldn't. you know, get it off, the weight off. And I started looking through answers, looking for answers like in podcasts and Google and reading everything I could. And then one day I was knitting a sweater on my couch, and I was listening to a podcast about weight loss. And they mentioned, it was for a clinic. And one of the things the therapist mentioned was like, you know, you should come to our clinic, blah, blah, blah. But they said, for some people, Overeaters Anonymous might be an option. And I just was like, and that right there just changed my my entire life, right? I was super excited. I had been in AA for 2 years. I knew that there was power and strength in numbers. And so I went to the very first OA meeting I could find. I got a sponsor at my first OA meeting. And and just so you can see like where I was, hopefully I can do a screen share. Yes, there it is. That's me in 2018. And then this is me 3 years later. And this is after I joined OA. And a lot of one really cool thing about this is me at my bridal shower. You know, I go to an OA meeting every day, and they, you guys were with me, you know, through my engagement and my wedding and everything. I was on an OA meeting the morning of my wedding. I was just so like, and you guys were just so excited for me and just share, I don't know, you're just my family. And I was really happy to share the moment with you. So I'm going to try to stop. Okay. Yes. And I just know that also because of this program, I'm having a great marriage. I know how to, you know, relate to people and have these like relationships because of this program. And I'll say that, you know, in being in AA, and this program is based on AA, and a lot of people say that OA is a lot harder than AA. And I mean, I feel like there's a little bit of truth to that, but I feel like we can use that to our advantage because, you know, people in AA, they can drink, they just can't drink alcohol. You know, that's their red liquid. Just like we have our red food, they have their red liquid. People in NA, Nicotine Anonymous or Narcotics Anonymous, you know, they can breathe in gas, like oxygen. They just can't breathe in carbon monoxide. So we just need to stay away from our red foods. My red foods are really like anything that's heavy in carbs or sugar or sugar-free things, fake things, and fried foods. I don't really have yellow foods. You know, it's either one of those things or it's, and that has been working for me. I do, you know, I do a food plan and I stick to it. One of the things about abstinence is you lose your power of choice. But in choosing abstinence, we admit we are powerless. And abstinence is giving up the power to choose your own food. But I didn't really have a choice in the first place because it was just a compulsion. Like, you know, choosing to have the Snickers and the ice cream and the donuts, it was just like, I had to have it. So able to let my higher power choose what I eat. And as far as maintaining my abstinence, it starts with honestly working the steps to the best of my ability every day. And the principle, so I just wanted to go through the steps. The principles of step one is honesty. I have to be honest. I have an addiction. I am 100% addicted to junk food and like carbs trigger my addiction to junk food. So I'm addicted to them too. And fried foods, like I said, and sugar. The first word of the first
15.
Oh, thank you. The first word of the first step is we. We admit it. I have 5 minutes left. Okay, that was quick. The first word of the first step is we admit it. And then the third word is we again. And it's just, it shows how important, you know, the we is. And it's a social program, which is the opposite of my experience with mental illness, which is isolation. And why we admit it, why is it like powerless and not I admitted that I was powerless? And I feel like the answer to that is on page 58 of the big book. It says, those who do not recover are people who cannot or will not completely give themselves this simple program, institutionally incapable of being honest with themselves. So if you're honest, if we're honest, if we admit that we have this problem or this addiction, you know, we can recover. And so it also talks about giving yourself to the program. And it's not just joining the program, but I've given myself to the program, which is more permanent. And that's appropriate because this is a lifelong disease and there's no cure, but there is long-term treatment, which is the steps in this fellowship. And I'll just go on to step two. My higher power has restored me to sanity. I went from, and the step two is came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. I went from being a political and like scientific atheist to a spiritual agnostic. My higher power is, you know, my goddess or like kind of mother universe, or, and also is my higher inner self. My higher power is like the perfect part of me. And step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him, or my goddess as I understand her. Allowing higher power and her perfection to work through me. And I'll just share one more slide. Okay. Yep.
I shorted you out accidentally 5 minutes, so keep going for four more minutes.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. And all I can say is, you know, as a agnostic or atheist or whatever, I think that, you know, I don't understand the whole God thing, and that's okay. I don't have to understand. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to have that up still. I don't have to understand. I just know that if she is, you know, if she were small enough for me to understand, then she wouldn't be big enough to help me. So it's okay that I don't understand. I'm still going to believe anyway. And there's a quick story I'll tell. Like a few weeks ago, I was craving a churro. It's like a dessert, and I wanted it really, really, really bad. And I was driving down the street. I live in Detroit, Michigan, so I was in the Metro Detroit area, and I was wanting this pastry. And I was going to the gas station. I needed gas anyway, and the pastry was there. I came to a red light. I'm driving my car. I'm literally driving. I come to a red light. In front of me, there is a car at this red light. I'm looking down. I look up, you know, I just look up, and I took a picture of what I saw. And I had to take a picture of it because you would not believe what I saw when I looked up. This is what I saw. I took a picture of it. Do you see that? On the car in front of me at this red light, it said step three. For those of you who can't see it that well, There it is. That is what it said in front of me. I was like, what the hell? I'm sitting up here craving this pastry. And of all the streets, there's thousands of streets in the state of Michigan. There are thousands of cars. I could have been anywhere at any time. But at this one time and place where I'm thinking of relapsing, my higher power puts this car right in front of me. So I don't know. I'm just like, you know what? They say higher power can do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Well, that is what happened to me. Step four, you know, like, what's wrong with me? What's going on? You know, what was my part in the problem? What can I do differently? Make that searching and fearless moral inventory. And then step five, admit it to God, ourselves, and other humans, the exact nature of our wrongs. I am perfectly fine, but because I admitted this, these items, my character defects and my resentments and my fears to someone else in my life and my higher power, not only did my world not crumble, but I built deeper relationships with who I gave my fourth step to, including myself and including my higher power. And, you know, I think that as long as we're progressing, we're perfect. We're not ever going to be completely perfect, but as long as we're progressing, that's perfect because our higher power, you know, made us. And step six, we're entirely ready to have God remove these defects of character. Just pray to be ready and willing to have God or good orderly direction, whatever you want to call it, remove these defects. And then until they're removed, act as if. Until that happens.
Reminder.
Thank you. And, you know, higher power is with us. And she's the higher part, the stronger part of me. And I'm striving towards that. So every morning, I'm not going to read it, but the seven-step prayer, it's the, you know, I will read the seven-step, third step and seven-step prayer. It's embodying our higher power, however we define it, using that good orderly direction. For step eight, my sponsor just said, just make a list, be honest. Step nine, you know, step nine, make amends. And in the step nine promise, it says fear of people and economic insecurity will leave us. That promise has come true for me. And I'll wrap up with 10, 11, 12, 10, continuing to take that personal moral inventory. The OA 12 and 12 gives many ways to do a 10 step, you know, journaling, writing down your what you did right, what you did wrong, what you want to do, what you could have done differently. You can do a 1 through 9 or 4 through 9 inventory. There's a lot of ways to do it. Just do it. 11, prayer and meditation. Meditation, I use music. Minutes. I listen to what my higher power is trying to tell me. I love the two-way prayer. It is awesome. There's a two-way prayer meeting, footsteps. I also use tarot cards to see my higher power talks to me through the cards. Any way you can connect with your higher power, do it. And finally, 12, I obviously have had a spiritual awakening. OA has given me the right to be spiritual back. I feel like the world kind of took that from me, from my personal experience, but OA has given that right back to me. Service, I do a crap ton of service. And it's important, it keeps me coming back. And then finally, I will say in this with, it's in 12, the 12 step, all these steps ends with practice these principles in all our affairs. So that means you practice, you know, these steps in every part of your life, in my work life, in my food, in my family, everything, my friends. I practice these steps in every single step of life. And as a reminder to practice these steps, I will show you this. This is my desk right now. This is literally, I'm looking at this on my desk. And those are little frogs that I bought on Amazon. And the frog is an acronym for fully rely on God. You don't believe in God? Rely on the goddess. Rely on the group, fully rely on group, on God, whatever, just, you know, something that's not you, okay? And anyway, we can do it. Like the very first word, the very step says, we. So thank you for letting me share.